It's the POS Show, starring Little Joe Pittman with Stones McCoy. And here he is, Phantom, on sports.
Dun. Welcome to a Friday POS Show. Yes, I am Phantom on sports, and right now I am joined by the great Stone McCoy, or Stones McCoy, however you prefer to say it. Hello, Stones.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Well, I'm doing fine. You're like dragging from your overnight shopping cart, shopping cart job, I guess we call it.
Pull the curtain back. Yeah, I'm dragging.
Sorry about your personal life.
I'm working hard to stay awake and on task.
Exactly.
I'm here for the people.
And I do, and I'm sure everybody else does, I do appreciate that. Right. And so if people want to see you at work, basically go to some supermarket every night until you show up.
That's right. I will. I'll be in Tahoe. I'll be appearing in Reno, actually, on Monday if anybody wants to come up. Check me out.
So it's a shopping cart tour is what you're doing.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Anybody wants to join?
Well, this week on the POS show, of course, NFL preview, we got a big weekend coming up. Some very, very good games. Not only the ones with the undefeated teams or the local teams, but some very good games otherwise. NCAA football preview with Stones and his Oklahoma State Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
Let's see where they are now in the rankings and how they're going to make it to the Final Four. Looking at the NBA with Steph Curry and his Warriors going 13-0 last night, coming from 23 down to beat the Clippers, because the Clippers, at the end of the game, if Chris Paul isn't making hoops, they have no chance.
They don't have,
because Blake is a bull in a china shop. And also a little Kings update locally, and I have to say that because, Stones, you were very upset would be an understatement. You were vehemently angry at the Kings, and specifically one DeMarcus Cousins for his performance last night.
Very specifically last night, because he didn't perform last night.
He wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
He'd been suspended for throwing an elbow at Al Horford on Wednesday night in Atlanta.
So he misses another game.
So they not only lose that game to the Hawks, but last night without him and without Rudy Gay for some of the second half because of a shoulder injury, they fall to the Miami Heat, 116-109.
Not shocked.
And you, much like probably 90% of, if there is a Kings Nation, well, if we'd had DeMarcus, I was watching the game, and obviously we'd have won that game if we'd had DeMarcus.
Well, it's not that I think obviously we would have won the game if we had DeMarcus. I think that is a game if the entire squad is there, they would have won.
All right, we will discuss. But I think, you know, that's going to be Kings fans of all teams that don't win always cite injuries or absences as part of it. Well, if we'd had all our guys.
Yeah.
And in this case, you know, if you have an injury, then I can see where you'd say, well, you know, DeMarcus had a strained Achilles or somebody hurt his shoulder. Okay. But when a guy takes himself out of the game because of his own actions, that's a little bit different. Nobody's going to pity you anyway.
No, this is going to be a reoccurring theme this year. Get ready, Sacramento Kings.
You think he's going to have more suspensions?
You know what? Listen, he has seemed to find a way to be out every, like, third game so far this year.
Well, there haven't been many games, and I see what you're saying.
So, track record shows that he's going to find his way on the bench for some reason throughout the rest of the season. It's just the way it's going.
Mathematically, it's unbelievable to realize that with him out of the lineup, they're even worse than they are with him in the lineup.
No shit.
And they're pretty bad with him in the lineup, as the record has shown over the past couple years. Anyway, DeMarcus out. Yesterday, the Kings returned to action. Tomorrow in Orlando, he should be on the floor. Not knowing if Rudy Gay will be. He had that shoulder injury yesterday. First, we start, though, Stones, with a little baseball. You're a baseball guy.
I am.
And we had the baseball big awards given out the last couple of days. Your Cy Young Award, Dallas Keuchel in the American League, Jake Arrieta in the National League.
Perfect.
Those were, I think most people thought those were going to be the two. There was the Zach Greinke faction, and of course Kershaw, law has to get a certain number of votes.
It's a law when they don't win.
Yeah, and I thought Arrieta was 16-1 with an ERA well under one for the last half of the season and taking his team to the playoffs. I thought he obviously deserved it. Dallas Keuchel won 20 games, and so he deserved it too, although I keep thinking, hey, how can a Houston Astro win the AL Cy Young Award? They're in the National League. Everybody knows that.
You know, it does hit me every once in a while that Houston is actually competing against Oakland now for a division.
I was listening to a show, and they were talking about Brandon Crawford, being the best shortstop in the National League and being, oh, if I was taking a shortstop in the National League, I'd take Brandon Crawford. I'm like, what about Carlos Correa? Come on. Oh, yeah, he's on the Astros and they're in the American League in some alternate universe.
Well, you know,
not in this universe.
Not in Phantom.
In Earth 2, universe. Where there's another Flash, there's also Houston Astros American League. Okay,
oh,
I'm sorry to mention that.
No, please.
And for the MVP race, no surprise with Bryce Harper in the National League, although I was surprised he was unanimous.
That was the only part that's surprising to me.
Yeah.
I figured he would win it, but not. He got every first place vote.
Yeah, that's how you get unanimous. Yeah. Josh Donaldson
just helping people.
Wins it in the thank you. Wins it in the American League, but not for the American League team that you thought he was on.
No,
he's actually in Toronto now.
Yeah,
and
A's fans.
He got traded away. He was fourth in the voting last year, and whoever that guy is over at Oakland A's said, "Hey, you know something? That's pretty good, but what if he was on another team and we gave him to another team? I bet he would do better." And thankfully, Billy was right.
Yeah.
Josh Donaldson goes to another team and comes in first.
Welcome to the American
23
League.
First place votes. Mike Trout got the other seven. Mike Trout finishing second for the third time in 4 years.
That's fine. He won it already once.
He won it once, but I'm just saying, if you win, if you're top two in the MVP 4 years in a row, you got a pretty good thing going.
That's what I was going to say. That's the reason why I don't take any pity or feel bad for him.
No, I don't say that to feel bad. I say that as a measure of respect.
You should respect the shit out of that guy.
I mean, people think if you get a top five, that's great, which it is.
Yeah.
You're top two 4 years in a row, and you're what, 25 years, whatever he is.
Yeah.
I think he's got a fine future. Now, Bryce Harper won it.
22.
Unanimously at 22, but the first, the first 2 years, he wasn't in the vote. He wasn't up there as high as what I'm saying about Mike Trout.
Mike
Trout had the unfortunate liability of running into Miguel Cabrera for 2 years and winning a triple crown and stuff. So,
and again, I mean, you go back to those years, you can put those two guys and flip a coin for MVP those years
because of what Mike Trout does, other than the stats that you see, with the RBIs and home runs and stuff, which I love that. And we saw that in the World Series this past year. The team that played the better defense is the team that won the World Series.
There it is.
And I love that.
That's why San Francisco,
because I'm a guy who
you're
likes the basic, the fundamentals of whatever game.
Oh, okay.
Like in basketball.
Ooh.
I'm an older guy, so I don't have that kind of, love life that you younger kids have. I find myself becoming physically aroused when I see people making free throws. That's how it gets to, I mean, I'm not a huge Marco Bellinelli guy on the Kings,
shorter,
but
though,
the guy does not miss free throws, and I find myself, it moves. I'll just say that.
I will say that.
I'm a fundamental guy, so I love it when baseball games are decided by defense, not always by who's hitting the farthest home runs.
So how hard is it for you to make it through an entire game?
Well, not very hard. Not very hard, he said, in the NBA, because nobody shoots free throws very well.
Okay.
Unless I'm watching Steve Nash.
Hey, Seth Curry's not a bad free throw shooter also.
Seth Curry doesn't get onto the floor very often.
No, that's
now, Steph Curry does.
No, we're talking about Marco Bellinelli.
Yes, we
Seth
are.
Seth Curry.
I love Seth Curry, and I love the fact that he got signed by the Kings, and I think he can add. I saw him. Well, the problem is, of course, is he's the off-the-bench guy when Darren Collison wasn't playing, so Curry got a little bit of time, and I think he did pretty well while he was playing. But now Collison is back, and Curry's going back to the land of the lost.
And that's fine. He's going to get a lot more playing time. Here's the problem. Darren Collison always hurt.
Yeah, I think you might be right, unfortunately. I think he's a really talented player. Yeah. And Rondo has had an he doesn't always last the whole season, too.
No.
And so he's got his incredible triple-double streak, but unfortunately the team not winning the games that he's getting the triple-doubles in. Baseball has two. Josh Donaldson, it just amazes me. Yoenis Cespedes finished 13th in the National League MVP vote. He's on the team like 50 games.
I know.
So Billy trades Josh and Cespedes. Then he misses the playoffs. Then he gets promoted.
Almost,
I don't know how that works.
I'm
sorry. I don't know how that works.
Lost almost two MVPs in the process. It's
exactly.
Oakland is Oakland's always been that way, though. That's how they do it.
Well, now that's recently how they do it. Yeah, and I think that's
shit for the last 15 years.
Is that the small market way you have to play now, though? Do you have to kind of go like, oh, okay, I have two good guys, I have to try to trade them to get four medium guys because I can't afford two good guys?
Look at Tampa.
That's
look
sad.
At Florida.
Well, that's the sad part about Donaldson is he's under contract for four more years.
I know.
That's the sad part.
I know.
Anyway, I wanted to touch on a little baseball for you because I know that you like that.
I appreciate that.
I think you and I both agree with all four of these choices.
No, I do.
Which is nice.
I see that happening. I think the bigger thing to come out of all of this was Brandon Crawford getting a 6-year deal.
And a gold glove.
God damn. Well, you knew. Listen, at least
that's
I
pretty
did.
Good. I mean, I kid about Carlos Correa, but that's, I mean, the National League has some pretty good shortstops.
993 fielding percentage. Yeah. You got to give it to the
end. No, you don't. Because, well,
he had one of his best offensive years as well.
But that shouldn't factor at all. That's why he got the silver slugger.
I know it doesn't, but it always plays into right. with these riders.
The thing that I don't. The only thing that I don't like about fielding percentage, and I know that there's metrics that they break it down all the time. I just want to know how many balls a guy gets to, and that's not a sexual thing.
No,
you know, well, I mean, I always talk about Ozzie Smith, and there's a lot of players. You know, there's a lot of really good shortstops right now.
Brandon
and they
Carver
cover
gets
a lot of ground.
He gets to everything.
Yeah, that's my point.
Yeah, he gets to everything.
You know,
that's the bigger deal. They locked him up in San Francisco for the next 6 years.
Yeah, and it's a pretty friendly looking contract too. The first couple years.
Oh yeah,
and then it's like $15 million for the last four, but the first three are pretty good.
Well, they're setting it up to get Greinke. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
That's what I've heard.
You've got 2 years.
Back in the day.
That's some money.
Jackie Robinson, rather than being traded to the Giants, quit baseball. Uh-huh. You don't see that anymore.
Yeah, well,
Zach Greinke's on the Dodgers now.
He wants to come to San Francisco. Though.
Well, I mean, San Francisco's a great city, obviously.
Robinson didn't back then.
No, he didn't. No, that, well, of course he didn't.
I quit, fuckers.
Hey, well, yeah, because in those days, rivalries meant something. Because you really hated the guys because the guys on the other team didn't play for 17 different teams before that they were Giants or Dodgers or Yankees their whole life, basically.
The precedent,
was some, you know,
the
some
precedent was set with Brett Butler going from San Francisco and not quitting and then signing with the Dodgers instead. There's
Brett
the
Butler.
Precedent, and ever since then, it's been, you know what, who really gives a shit? Well, I do. Right. I'm a fan. I think Tom Haller
was the first one. He's a catcher during the 60s. Yeah. I believe he went to the Dodgers, and that was at that time was scandalous.
Yeah,
and nobody even cared who Tom Haller was. It was just scandalous.
Yeah, I don't know who Tom Haller is.
I know you don't. You think you're a Giants fan. You go looking for Giants beanies, but you don't care about Tom Haller.
Oh, don't get me started on the beanie search.
Okay, if anybody in the area of the Sacramento area, that is, knows where Stones can find an orange San Francisco Giants beanie, please hit us up on that.
Immediately.
And hit us up if you have a suggestion, as I tried to ask about this on Monday, if you have a suggestion with which team's allegiance I should demonstrate with my next hat purchase, let me know. Phantom Hat or Phantom's Hat. That's what Stones thinks is so funny.
Phantom
Hat. Kind of break. Yes, we know that.
Hashtag Phantom Hat.
Hashtag I need some hats. You don't have to send me a hat.
No.
And I got one guy who sent a picture of a very nice King's hat and said he was going to send it. You don't need to. You can if you want. But it's not the local teams that I usually.
What size is the hat?
7.58.
7.58.
7.58. Okay. And I also got a hat, as we've discussed, with a giant penis on the front.
Yes.
And a hat that said 80s.
Which is a great hat.
Which is great. But thanks so much. I'm not going to be wearing those hats.
No, I'm going to make one suggestion since
we're
here on the hat thing. Get a Cowboys hat.
Dallas?
Oklahoma State.
Oh, very nicely played.
Okay.
You did say Wichita State last time.
Wichita State's great.
Which is good, except for they lost the next night.
They did.
Tulsa beat them. But that's okay. But I think they're the Shockers, and I know you mean that in some sexual way.
No. In fact, I'm actually good friends with some guys who live in the back there, and they turned me on.
In Wichita?
Yeah, and I started watching
very good
a few
team.
Years ago, and man.
A very good
they're
team.
A really good basketball
yes,
team.
Yes, very good team.
So.
Leaving baseball aside, because who knows why we're going to talk about that. Football, a little grab bag, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
No. The refs did it again.
Yes.
We didn't talk about this on Monday as much, I don't think, because we had so much other stuff.
Yeah.
But the Baltimore-Jacksonville game ended when Baltimore was called for a face mask on the last play. Jacksonville got one more play, untimed down, kicked a field goal, I think it was 53 yards, and beat Baltimore, which figures into play now because Jacksonville, after winning last night, hey, playoff implications, my friend.
Did you think it was going to end any other way?
No, I did not.
You know what I mean?
Anyway, the referees or the league comes out and says, I don't know if I should even, this is what they say. You know, I don't even know if we should mention this because it probably doesn't matter and nobody cares. But Jacksonville's left, I think they said the left tackle, wasn't really set. It should have been a legal procedure.
False start.
In which case we'd run 10 seconds off the clock.
5 yard penalty. 10 second runoff.
10 second runoff. Thank
game
you very
over.
Much, Charlie Chan, for doing that. And the game would have been over, and Baltimore would have, in fact, won, and Jacksonville would have lost. But we missed that, so now, Baltimore, you lose, and you lost the game. But hey, who's the bigger person? We admitted our mistake.
Nay, we came out and we said we fucked up.
So does that do you any good? No. As we always talk about, I think there was 1 year where the Pittsburgh Steelers got letters from the league 3 weeks in a row. You know, we fucked up. You should have won.
Is Harbaugh
not always on the last play?
Is Harbaugh pissed or what? What's the deal here?
Well, I assume he is.
Has he come
His
out
brother
and
is pissed for him. Yes.
Has well, he come out? Baltimore and yelled or
had. If Baltimore had a chance to even watch postseason on TV, they probably would have said something. But I mean, they're just. They're one of those teams like, what happened, dude? Where you're falling off the face of the earth.
Too bad they're not in the NFC East.
You and your Joe Flacco with your $800 million contract. Anyway, so Jacksonville, that keeps them alive.
Yeah.
As you say, though, in the AFC South, you're alive at 1-15. Still, you might still get a wild card.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that's just – But that's I don't know why. I don't know why leagues do that because – It doesn't do any good. It's like we talked about with Duke and Miami in that play where Miami had the 23 laterals and they were clearly down. And you could look at it on replay and clearly down. And they blew it so badly that the whole crew was suspended for two games, which does nothing for the players.
No, no.
And Duke is still, I mean, they've lost since then. They were not an elite team. But again, we talked about this before. However many wins you get, if you're bowl eligible, that determines what level bowl you're going to.
Yes.
Which in one
That's
sense
money for your school.
Is money for your school. Exactly. It's prestige for the kids. They'd rather go to a better bowl. But for the school, the better bowl they go to, the more money they make.
Absolutely.
And this costs them money. But why come out and say that? And in their case, even suspend people, it does nothing for the game.
I was going to say
that. And it's the last play. You could change it if you wanted to.
You have time. That's what I was just going to say. It's the end of the game. You have every opportunity to look at that.
I'm going
to
go further, Stones. I'm going to go further. I'm going to say if you come out the next day and say we made a mistake, you still can change it. I know that's a bad precedent.
Yeah.
But if you come out, there's no reason for you to come out and say we made a mistake unless you're going to do something about
That's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
Even if you come out to your wife after 2 months, you know, I was staying late with the secretary, you know, but I'm going to change that.
I'm going to fix that.
I know. It's not like, I did that. So what are you going to do now?
No, I don't even think she's not buying it.
That
she's
is not even, buying it. It does not even compare at all.
No,
I just don't see why people admit their mistakes when it's the last play of the game. And you could say, okay, that play was wrong. We made a mistake. It doesn't happen. It reverts back to what the correct thing would have been. And nothing else changes because the game is over.
Well, here's the reason why they come back and they say, here, I'm going to tell you that we fucked up. It's the same principle of giving every kid a trophy who competes.
No.
Okay?
No, it's not.
We're going to make everybody happy.
I'm sorry.
You guys won, but hey, we want to also appease you over here.
This isn't under 10 soccer. This is professional sports.
Doesn't matter. That's
or
the way they treat
it. Or college sports, which is professional sports.
That's the way they treat it. It's everybody gets a fucking trophy. Yeah. Here's your juice box. Get the hell off the field.
You know, we'd be mad about this is if it changes the spread. If it beats, that's the thing that always happens.
Every year. And now that we have college, we have this championship in place, right?
Yes, we do.
Is this going to screw things up?
Not for this, no.
Okay. Right.
No,
well,
not
then,
for this.
Then nothing else is going to be said about it.
Now, if that's a great point, though.
Nothing else will be said about it.
What happens if Ohio State and Michigan State this week, the last play of the game is the game determiner and
Michigan State
and
wins.
It's wrong. It doesn't matter which team. I mean, in that case, it could affect either team, but we'll say Ohio State.
Okay.
And Ohio State gets screwed
and
they lose and they don't go to the championship.
And I'm happy as shit.
Yeah, but come on.
But
first of all, the outcry would be amazing because Ohio State.
Sunday they'll come out and apologize to Ohio State
and then
everybody's happy.
Not good enough.
Well, I mean, not good enough for the Ohio State
Not fans. Good enough is the state of most quarterbacks in the NFL.
Then just get rid of this
Johnny Manziel declared the starter for the Browns. And again, this is something that I've thought. I've heard others say it, so I'm not pretending that I'm the first one to come out. Why do you have to come out and declare things? They did this on the Houston Texans.
You're so old, man.
Brian Hoyer is, we're declaring you the starter, and you're going to be lasting for a while. Don't worry. The guy behind you will be there, but you're going to be okay for a while. And then the next game, you're fired.
They do it for the old people to remind them of QB.
Wait a minute. I forgot who's going to quarterback. Oh, yeah, they declared a starter, so I do remember that.
Yeah, it's easy to go
Why
to.
Why don't they just say Johnny Manziel and obviously, if there's injury concerns, that's one thing. But to say, Johnny Manziel, you're my starter the rest of the season. Why not you're my starter Sunday?
Well,
I'll let you know when you're not my starter. But I'm not going to declare you the starter. What if he sucks out loud again and you want to put somebody else in? You can't.
No.
You just declared him the starter for the whole season.
And
why do you do that?
And I think that's the point that they're trying to make there is, look, we are going to declare you the starter. So go ahead. Go out there. Suck it up.
No.
Right? Or suck, either way.
But he's still the starter.
We're going to let you play it out the rest of this year. And listen, that's the reason why they're
in the
that.
Great movie Roadhouse.
Ooh, I love
starring
that movie.
Patrick Swayze.
Roadhouse.
As Dalton, and I don't remember his last name, but Dalton was his name. He was the bouncer, right?
Yes.
I mean, he was the super bouncer.
He's a badass.
What did he say? What was the thing? Be nice.
Be nice.
Be nice. Always be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Until it's time not to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. You're the starter. Until it's time that you're not the starter.
That's true.
There's no declaring you.
That's true.
Okay?
That's true. But now, hey.
I mean, there are certain quarterbacks, and there's not that many of them, and that's a problem, that are the starters. And we know from the first day you walk in, this guy's the starter.
Andrew Luck.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was thinking more of Drew Brees or Tom Brady, but Andrew Luck's a good example.
Okay.
Okay. So that's the starter. You don't have to declare him the starter. Okay. They're the starter. So, but sometimes or somehow teams think that if they don't have a great quarterback, they have to make a big pronouncement about their not-so-good quarterback in order to make him think he's a great quarterback.
They got
to
write it on the wall.
I mean, even a quarterback, and some people like him more than I do, but even Phillip Rivers is the starter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But they get to situations where the Texans were at the beginning of the season and other teams are, and or maybe the Titans, well, they said Marcus Mariota was going to be the starter, but
yeah,
and Jameis Winston too, but there could have been situations there where... Well, that's a tough one, too, because they declared the rookie the starter before camp.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's a dangerous one, too, because what happens to the guy who goes to camp and he can't play? I mean, that happens, right?
Totally scary.
Or he's a year away from playing or 2 years away from playing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's my other question. How come, and the thing that got me thinking this is that Brandon Whedon signed with Houston.
Yes.
Brandon Whedon couldn't make it on Cleveland.
No.
Houston obviously needs a quarterback because Hoyer's injured, so blah, blah, blah. That Brandon Whedon's on the team. He's crappy. Mark Sanchez is going to start this week because Bradford's out.
Yes.
Mark Sanchez, I don't think he's as crappy as he plays, but he's crappy.
He really shows his crapness when he gets out there.
Okay. There are maybe...
This is bothering him.
Maybe 12 good quarterbacks. Maybe. And I'm talking about... I'm not talking about, oh yeah, Mark Sanchez was playing... He's... Obviously, I'm talking about on the pro level.
Yeah.
In that system, in the level of how good they are. There's like everybody in Major League Baseball is good. I mean, even a guy who's on a crummy team who's bad on
there,
he's still good.
You can't get there if you're not good.
Like, I don't know if you're old enough to remember the great Johnny LeMaster, your shortstop.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was the guy that everybody would make fun of. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's better than Johnny LeMaster. But he was still good.
He
just wasn't great on a pro level. He was still a good, a very good, great player. He just wasn't great on the pro level.
That's right.
So every one of these guys is good. In fact, if you look at Mark Sanchez, we talk about Brandon Whedon, Sam Bradford, who Mark Sanchez is replacing, Johnny Manziel. In college, these guys were all great.
Oh, yeah.
What is the formula? Every year, there's, I would say, at least 8 really good to great college quarterbacks that come out of college.
Mm-hmm. And one or two.
We don't get many great quarterbacks out of that.
Well, again.
Why?
It's the speed. I think it points to the biggest difference of the college and pro game. There, you got the speed and the power.
The speed of the... I think you're right. I think the fact that when you're a college quarterback, if you're playing like the best team, three of those guys will be in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Next year, 3 of them in the NFL. I mean, there are a couple of teams that had 4 or 5 of their defense. I mean, Miami back in the day and a couple of Alabama's, but you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
I mean, the best team you're going to face 3. And when you're in the pros, the worst team has 11.
Yeah.
So it just is different. And as you mentioned, especially the linebackers and the linemen and the cornerbacks on closing speeds. When you throw balls in college that get to the receiver, in the pros, they don't get to the receiver because this guy's just gone 4-2 sideways and he's picked it off.
And receivers in the pros come back to the ball. They run to the ball. They do different things. And then you have on top of all that, you've got college players who, for the most part, are going to somewhat classes and they're studying they're studying other things.
They got other stuff on their plate.
Not schemes every day.
Yeah.
In the NFL, 5 days a week, these guys are watching tape, going over schemes, practicing.
It's their job. You're right.
So it's a difference in preparation from the college to the pros. So then when you get a college quarterback who's coming in and they're going, hey, here's this playbook. It's 77,000 pages long.
Right.
Have it known by Tuesday.
It takes a while. I agree. I don't expect quarterbacks to come out of college and be good right away because, as you say, the speed of the game is a tenfold, whatever it is. Okay, and some of them come out and they, you know, Andrew Luck or somebody, I mean, and they play well and maybe their athleticism carries them through and they play well, but it's still up and down as far as understanding the game. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be better in a couple years. But it just seems that we're not, I mean, like I said, they have maybe 12 good ones. I don't know.
No,
there's 350 million or whatever people in the United States. We can't find more than 12 people that play quarterback.
I can play quarterback.
There's probably 12 great neurosurgeons, you know,
in Sacramento. I mean, yeah, alone.
I know. And then the problem with neurosurgeons, obviously, as you know, is once they get good, they go run for president.
Absolutely.
But I'm just saying, why can't we find more people that can? And I know it's a difficult job, but we have dozens of people, more than dozens of people that do it on the college level. We can't get more than one out of 100 to be. We have 12 good quarterbacks.
You're talking about the elite 12. Of the elite. This is the sport of the elite of the
but
elite.
But that's what pro sports is.
And so that's the reason why that in this particular, you've got so many elite athletes on both offense and defense. There's only 12 quarterbacks in this league who are smart enough to be able to pick apart the elite defense.
But they have to be smart enough and have to be able to do it. Well, Peyton Manning is still smart enough to pick him apart. He just can't throw the ball.
Not right now.
You know, I mean, not right now.
Not right now.
Yeah, but I mean, that's another guy, Brock Osweiler. Who knows what's going to happen?
I like the opportunity there.
I think it's the right move.
He's been in the league long enough. He's different than he's different than the Johnny Manziels that we're talking about. You know, he's been in the league long enough where he's studied. He's been through this process of being inundated with crap that you have to study for week in and week out.
Yeah.
He knows what's going on. Johnny Manziel, on the other hand, he's still young. He's going to look at this and all right, that's cool. I'm going to go out there and Johnny football it.
Someone's pointing out, I mean, obviously in college they run different offenses because the job of the college coach is to win a college game.
Yeah.
He doesn't care whether that makes you ready for the pros. I'm going to use Johnny Manziel and let him just run around the field because that's going to win me college games. It doesn't win you pro games. And Johnny Manziel probably should have been put in a Brock Osweiler situation where if anybody needed to sit down and learn, it's probably him.
Well, why is Aaron Rodgers so good now? One of the reasons for Aaron Rodgers' success is that they did that. They put him behind.
Yeah.
He was fortunate enough to be behind one of the greatest quarterbacks as I've played.
Yes.
Okay. And he stayed there. He stayed there and
he learned
it inside and out and watched the speed and developed that. And that's what happens. That's how you get the opportunity to succeed.
That's one of the ways.
You know?
Yeah.
Look at Steve Young. Steve Young sat behind Joe Montana all that time.
But he played a lot before that. And look at a Peyton Manning.
He was at BYU.
And a Troy Aikman and those guys. They threw them out right away. I mean, there's more than one way to become a great quarterback. But you have to be a great quarterback.
You do have to have the tools.
Just because you sit behind a guy for 4 years, you're not going to be a great quarterback if you don't have the tools.
No.
I'm just wondering why we don't have more. Because you watch guys every week. I mean, like a Carson Palmer is a guy that's getting a chance to play. I mean, not getting a chance, but his injuries have kind of kept him down. Yeah. And he's getting a chance to show what he is and to show that he is one of those 12.
I think
that's my arbitrary number.
I think so.
But, I mean, it's just you look around the league and you see, well, I mean, the 49ers are a perfect example. There was a guy who was anointed. But again, we want to anoint people before they do anything.
Yeah.
Yes. And, I mean, and we talk about Andrew Luck. He's had some success, but really – we're making him the greatest before he is.
He didn't
Anthony
win the
Davis is another
the
guy.
Year,
yeah, Anthony you know? Davis is another guy in basketball, even though he's having injury problems, obviously. But still, we can't be in such a hurry to make people so great.
Well, that's the age that we live in.
You got to put him on Twitter.
You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so where's Mark Sanchez is going to start Sunday versus Tampa Bay. So there you go. All you remember. And I was...
I can't wait.
The thing I remember about Mark Sanchez is that when he declared early, his coach was standing there going, "You shouldn't be doing this. Don't do this. You're not ready."
No, go.
All right, whatever.
Stay. We need you one more year.
You want to talk a little NBA? I'll talk a little NBA with you.
Oh, boy.
The other day, I was looking at the stats. James Harden, 45 points, 8 rebounds, 11 assists.
That's a nice
The same night in a different game, Russell Westbrook, 43 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists. And it hit me then, and it's probably hit people before. There's no way those two guys could have stayed on the same team.
No.
Especially with Kevin Durant, obviously. But those two guys have to go have their own castle. You know?
I mean, if they
can't work with other Knights, they got to go have their own castle. They can't work together. At that level, those two guys and Durant, It just couldn't have worked.
I was listening to some douchebag on the ESPN the other day saying, can you imagine if Harden stayed in OKC?
Yeah, that's my point.
Here's how I could imagine it. It fucking being a volatile situation. Oh my God, like you're Sacramento so right. Is,
and you know? Harden would have been sitting there going, you know, I'm just as good as him. And I, in his mind, he believes that. And maybe he is. Who knows? I'm just as good as him. Why am I not only sitting more? I'm not even starting. Plus, I'm giving up shots every game. And, you know, James Harden doesn't like to give up his shots.
Not at all.
And that doesn't mean that. That doesn't mean that he's a great, you know, the greatest player of all time either. It's just a matter of realizing, and I remember at the time, everybody was of the same. I mean, everybody knew these two guys were both good.
Absolutely.
And very good even. Oh, yeah. So they're, well, why would you do that? Well, sometimes things can't coexist. No, they just can't.
It's the way
in this case, neither one of these guys would be able to do what they're doing had they been on the same team.
Think about trying to put Allen Iverson on the team at OKC right now. Okay. Think about that.
Way too old.
Okay. No, in his prime. Think about taking that's
well, yeah, because James, he's a shot. He's a ball monopolizer.
That's how James. That's what James Harden reminds me of. He is the guy who he's got to get his shots. He's always involved. It's not that he's not playing hard, but he's got to have the ball in his hands.
He's got to have the ball in his hands,
and he's got to have his
shots. Like your boy Rondo does.
Yeah,
now Harden.
At least Rondo's not shooting every.
No, but James Harden can shoot, and Rondo can't. And I know that he makes shots, but you know
he still can't shoot. He's Doug Christie.
But James Harden can, and James Harden's a lot bigger too.
No, he is bigger.
But yeah, I see what you're saying. And then Iverson, I mean, anybody that monopolizes the ball, and Russell Westbrook does the same thing.
Yeah, he does. But they've come to a
you
really
good. You can't be together and do that.
But he and Durant
have absolutely.
Come to a really good understanding of how the monopolizing of the ball is going to work there.
Exactly. You but know? They couldn't have another monopolizer there. You couldn't have the race car and the shovel. And the iron and what the thimble. I mean, you can't have all three of those.
You can't have the little dog.
Aww.
I like the little dog.
I love the little dog.
Yeah, that's my favorite piece.
So Harden, for all of his heroics, his coach just got fired.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that going, Kevin McHale was on the Celtics, obviously in the 80s, and I was a Laker guy. You were either a Laker or a Celtic guy. Mm-hmm. There were no other teams in the league at that time.
No.
Even though the Kings just joined, it didn't really matter. but I recognized early on watching basketball that Kevin McHale was, after maybe Kareem and Wilt, maybe the hardest guy to defend on the block that's ever played, and Hakeem Olajuwon and Shaq. Those guys. I mean, he's in that class as far as his moves and his
you footwork, know,
his fundamentals
unreal.
On the block. You couldn't beat him. So I hear that he's fired. Okay, that happens. His team's not doing well. And then I said, wait, he's got a top five player in the game, James Harden, and he's got Dwight Howard. And then I thought, is James Harden still – I mean – who are the top five? Steph Curry and LeBron James are the top two players. I don't think that's a problem.
Okay.
Is it James Harden and Russell Westbrook Kevin Durant?
Kevin Durant's got to be in there. And then
I would agree.
I think
so. If you're being arbitrary and making it top five, how weird is it if three of the top five guys were on one team at one time? That's insane. And we said they couldn't have coexisted for very much longer, but still, that's insane.
Because
if Kevin Durant's healthy, he's probably, you're right, he's third.
You have no big man on that top five, though.
Well, it doesn't really. Well, I mean, I would say DeMarcus is the best center in the league.
I think so.
I think he was the best offensive center the last couple of years. And I think he's got to the point now where his all-around game is he's the best center. Now, and Andre Drummond is kind of coming up a little bit, but DeMarcus just outplayed him the other day, and it's not based on one game. And Marc Gasol is still there, no doubt about it. Dwight Howard is kind of falling off the map. So I think DeMarcus is the best player in the game, and that's the thing. When you're a Kings fan or a Kings player or in the Kings front office, we have the guy who's the best center in basketball, and he throws an elbow when he's not playing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know it's very physical on the floor, and people take shots at you and you retaliate.
Yes.
But you have to be smarter in your fifth or sixth year, whichever one it is, that you don't throw elbows on the floor when, yeah, you might get away with that in a playground game because there's no video, but people are going to see that. And watching the replay, there's a referee standing right there. But of course, we know they miss much of what they look at. Yes, of course. And it's a very tough game. But, yeah, he's the best player. He's the best center. I don't know where I would have him in my top. He would be a top 10 player now.
I think so.
Not top five, though.
But the problem with him is that it's the crying, it's the whining.
I don't know that it's as bad as it was.
It doesn't matter.
It's the elbow.
Years in the league.
Yes, I agree.
Well, maybe he's not crying with the crying on his face, but the elbow is just
he's
the extension.
He's crying inside?
It's the extension
of his
crying.
Tears of a clown when there's no one around?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
And no, we are not going to talk about Harden's girlfriend and Lamar Odom's wife. There's no reason to talk about on a sports show.
There's no reason to do it, but now that we are, okay. You know, it was nice to see that Chloe has said, hey, I'm still... Of course, Chloe, when she got with Lamar, he was a great player. Now look where I am. And he got with Harden. Harden is now under 500 and just lost his coach. So maybe Chloe is the Olivia Munn the situation.
Here's what I thought was going to happen is Chloe was going to leave Lamar and go hook up with Marshawn Lynch because, you know, they both love Skittles.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch.
You know.
Well, there goes Seattle then. Yeah.
That's what I was hoping for.
Chloe's that's a problem. Oh, so God. I guess.
Yeah, we talked about it. There you go.
Okay. You're talked welcome, about David that, Sack. But I still don't have my top five.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have my LeBron and I have my Steph Curry.
Okay, LeBron.
And right now, he is so amazing. You're going to put Steph Curry. A lot of people will put him first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I think he's the best player, but God, it's hard to argue against him. Watching that guy, the amazing things that he does. At maybe 6'2", maybe.
LaMarcus Aldridge?
What about him? He's not top five.
He's in the top 10.
I don't know. I'll have to see more of him with the Spurs.
I think he's in the top 10.
But I mean, you have Durant third, and then you got to figure out who's going to come next. Is it going to be Chris Paul when he's healthy? I think he's right there.
I think he's out.
Is it going to be James Harden?
I think he's out.
Is it going to be Anthony Davis? Obviously, being injured now, it's kind of takes a win out of those sales.
It does.
I mean, you know, who's it going to be? I don't know, but that actually kind of a small group when you're talking about the top five. There's not that many candidates. DeMarcus probably kind of sneaking in there.
He might, yeah.
And Paul George, it's great to see Paul George has got, I think, four or five straight games over 25 points.
It's nice to just great see him that he back came on back.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And that makes the Pacers obviously so much better.
Just don't break your leg again.
Can I agree with you on that?
Okay, yeah.
It's too absolutely. Bad, yeah. So anyway, Harden, I guess, is still top five. But when your team is losing and you score a lot of points, and as you say, you have the ball all the time, you tend to get criticized a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And that's what's happening there.
But, I mean, what great player has fallen off the scene faster than Dwight Howard? He was considered the best center in the game for several years.
Shit.
And right now, if you said, if he retires today, is he a Hall of Famer? I would say,
I forgot that he was playing. I honestly forgot that he was still playing.
Yeah.
You know, he's not making any impacts there.
Now, speaking of the Hall of Fame, you mentioned last time if Steph Curry, first of all, you had him in the league 4 years and he was 6 or 7.
Whatever.
But if he, you know, retired today, is he in the Hall of Fame? And I said, I don't know. But when I was thinking about that, I think there is nobody who's ever been MVP in the NBA for one season that is not in the Hall of Fame who's eligible.
Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
If it is, it's like one person. Well, because remember, there's been a lot of people who are multiple MVPs, and obviously they're going to take up a lot of time. But as we just saw today, you know, Bryce Harper, who knows if he's going to be in the Hall of Fame? It's still too early.
It's way too
Josh
early.
Donaldson, I would say now, no. But I mean, you know, and Arrieta and Dallas Keuchel, it's too early to tell, obviously. But you know,
I
can see where maybe, you know, Cy Young is different, I know.
I don't think Arrieta is too soon to tell. I think no. He's been around.
No,
in
he has
the
been. You're right. He has been
time.
Around. But I mean, Cy Young isn't, it isn't the same thing. MVP is MVP.
Yeah.
Donaldson, probably not. Bryce Harper, it's too early to tell. Mike Trout in the past, Mike Trout's going to be in the Hall of Fame. But still, he's like Steph Curry. He's still at 4 years.
Yeah, he's not been in a long time.
But I wondered about this, though, because I don't think, the last time I checked, I don't think anybody who's been MVP, because it's, look at the past, it's been like, you know, Michael and everybody, and Charles was it 1 year, and Karl Malone, and Shaq's done once, and Steve Nash twice, and,
AI.
You know, Duncan or whoever. But everybody that gets MVP is in the Hall of Fame. And when you look at baseball, and when you look at football, it's not like that.
No, it is not.
I mean, football, I mean, trying to remember, like Joe Theismann was the MVP 1 year. Okay. Rich Gannon was the MVP 1 year.
Oh, God, that's
you know,
right.
I mean, obviously quarterbacks that get the hot hand. Yeah. And I'm sure there's others. You know, I think Sean Alexander was the MVP 1 year from Seattle.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that guy.
And there's, I don't want to
say
a lot.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
No, I don't think so. And neither are these other guys. Now, Kurt Warner was the MVP twice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he will be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think so.
But, I mean, and in baseball, Dale Murphy was MVP twice in a row. And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's...
I'm not going to do it. Okay, fine. Barry Bonds was MVP seven?
Seven times.
And he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yes, that's right. He's not.
Sorry, I just had to do that.
That's okay.
All right.
I think we know that there are extenuating circumstances.
Whatever.
But Dale Murphy does not have those.
No, Dale Murphy... Well, we don't
know. So why is...
We don't know that. We don't know that.
We don't know, but we know.
Okay, whatever.
Well, we...
That's a whole other conversation.
Absolutely. But why are all the MVPs in the NBA? Why are they a Hall of Famers in baseball? Is baseball and football not... See, NBA is like, usually you got to be a great all-around player to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the guys who do it don't have one good year.
Are the MVPs voted in all these leagues? Are they all voted by the writers?
I believe so, yeah.
Okay.
Or by representatives or something like okay. that, yeah.
I was just trying to find a loophole there.
Well,
maybe,
it just seems like a really good player that has a great year is more common in other sports than basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball, it's a really great player. I mean, Bob McAdoo was MVP, but he just got in the Hall of Fame. He might be the least famous MVP that I can remember.
Really?
I mean, everybody is just, I mean, from the Magic and Larry and
yeah, no, they're all
Kareem and all these guys.
All-stars.
I mean, yeah, but yeah. It just seems like, 1 year, maybe somebody would sneak in there. But in basketball, that just doesn't happen.
Didn't Steve Nash win it 1 year?
He won it twice.
He won it twice.
And he will be in the Hall of Fame.
And he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, you win. That's the thing. Yeah. If you win it once, you're a Hall of Famer in basketball. He won it twice.
Okay.
So, I mean, and they're like, you always hear Shaq talk about, oh, he took my Hall of Fame. He took my MVP. Which he might have, but whatever.
You're still a Hall of Famer, Shaq.
Yeah,
Shaq,
you're the first ballot or whatever.
Yeah.
Rapper. Yeah, a great rapper and a great actor. But it just seems that it's easier for somebody to poke through or pop through in other sports, and maybe baseball is the best example. And there's a lot of baseball players that are, you know, MVPs. Oh, yeah. They're not in the Hall of Fame
and won't be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
you know,
well, exactly.
Here's the other thing is there's a lot more awards in baseball that are given out.
Yeah, but MVP is MVP.
Okay, but they give two MVPs out. They give one for the National League and one for the American League. And
NBA
gives out the most valuable player for the league.
In the early 60s, they used to only give out one Cy Young Award.
And so maybe
if they only – and now the MVP, I think, was always given in each league, which you'd think that they would. Now, I know they have NFC and AFC, you know, players of the year, but we're talking about the league MVP.
We're talking about the league MVP.
But, in baseball, if they did that, maybe it would be, if you look at the years that a non-Hall of Famer was MVP, maybe there was – in the other league there was. Maybe you're right. But it just is kind of weird. I mean, it's probably great for basketball.
I mean,
Dirk Nowitzki was an MVP once. He'll be obviously a Hall of Famer. I'm just trying to think of people that were only at once.
That's what I was thinking, and I keep getting stuck on this name. Did Amari Stoudemire win?
No, not the MVP.
He didn't win the MVP.
No, not the MVP.
Because that was the only person I'm thinking of in the last, like, 15, 20 years. Yeah. You know,
that was a great team he was on.
He was.
When he was with Steve Nash and everybody, with Phoenix, but he did not win the MVP.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, but he was a great player. But it's just, so by that metric, then, your Steph Curry question, obviously he's going to be in the Hall of Fame because he's an MVP. And who's to say he's not going to win another one this year? I know it's only 13 games.
Man.
But, man, he's insane.
Oh, God. Mr. Basketball, there are some questions you need to answer, I'll tell you
what. Are you angling to try to do a Mr. Basketball?
No. I'm just saying Mr. Basketball's got questions to answer, I'm sure.
I would love to do them, but I need to get to a little college football.
Yes, no.
Because
that's more important.
We have our four teams. We have number one Clemson, number two Alabama, number three Ohio State, number four Notre Dame. Iowa State at number five. Your Oklahoma State Cowboys moved up to number six.
Woo!
Oklahoma itself is number seven, and then number eight is Florida. Now, this week, it looks like Clemson is going to be fine. They host Wake Forest. Alabama, excuse me, hosts Charleston Southern.
Who?
Yeah. Now, the big game is, of course, Ohio State and Michigan State.
Yeah, that's
– And then Notre Dame hosts Boston College at Fenway. So I don't know if they're really hosting them.
I still like this game.
At Fenway. I love that idea.
I like this game.
You think the three of those teams are going to skate through. You don't know about Ohio State.
I don't. No, in
fact – Purdue is at Iowa. Mm-hmm. So if Ohio State loses and Purdue – I mean, Iowa would seem just to be able to jump right up in there. We don't know.
Didn't Purdue like 2-7?
Yeah, Purdue's not great.
Yeah, no, they're
Iowa. We are projecting. Okay, we're like the NBC News. We are predicting that Iowa will make it all the way through to the championship game undefeated.
Oh,
we have 12 precincts in. Your team is a big one this week. They got to host Baylor.
Yeah, I like this game. This is going to be probably the second best game in the college landscape
after Ohio State and Michigan State.
After Ohio State and Michigan State,
it'll have just as much to do with the final ranking.
Oh, it's definitely going to have much implication. Yeah,
I think you and I are both of the understanding that if Oklahoma State wins out, they're going to take one of those four spots.
They have to. I don't see how they don't.
The only thing that's good for Notre Dame right now And remember, they beat. They have to play Stanford still, and Stanford lost. But Stanford could still win a couple more games. USC, Notre Dame beat USC, and they're back in the top 25. Yeah. If they win a couple more games, their stock will rise a little bit. It makes Notre Dame look a little bit better,
a little bit better
in retrospect.
Yeah.
But they will not have a win like Oklahoma State could have by beating Baylor and Oklahoma.
Correct.
So, I mean, that's not – they can't look that good.
You got to wait.
They
the
can't
schedule.
Look as good. Exactly.
Yeah.
And Clemson, if – they have to hope – Notre Dame has to hope Clemson keeps winning.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they lose,
then
their close loss to Clemson looks worse.
Yes, absolutely.
And they're going to be – Notre Dame's going to be down – they're going to be down at the end of the season playing resume. Because they know – that's what they're going to have to do.
They have to.
It's not going to be on
look
record.
Look who we beat.
Because assuming that a Big 12 team gets through undefeated – now, if Oklahoma makes it all the way through and wins the Big 12, Oklahoma has a pretty bad loss to Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So Notre Dame could say, well, you know, our loss is better than their loss, and they might have a point there.
It depends.
Depending on who else they played, though.
Again, that's where that Stanford game comes into play.
Well, Oklahoma, if they do make it through, they would have beaten Oklahoma State and TCU and Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
So they can say, well, who you got?
Yeah, well, again.
We beat USC, they're 22nd, and Stanford's at 12th.
They're playing well. They're playing TCU.
Without Boykin. So that may have something to do with it. And I don't know. You hear talk about, well, does that matter that the other team doesn't have their best players? Well, yeah, it matters, but still, Baylor didn't have their quarterback last week, but the guy they put in threw for a bunch of yards, and they scored 34 points.
They did. They
so that's
well.
Not too bad.
They played well. Here's the biggest thing that I have with the top four right now is that I'm fine with Ohio State still being there. The problem that I have is that if Ohio State doesn't win out, they can't stay in this top four.
Well, not if Iowa beats them.
You know what I mean?
Because Iowa has no losses.
That's right. So the only thing that Ohio State has, they have the opportunity to control their destiny.
Absolutely.
At this point. They cannot lose.
Right.
They cannot. One loss in this what, three, four games?
I think they have Michigan State and Michigan, and that's it. But what makes it interesting is if they do lose and still win that part of the Big Ten, which is possible, and then they beat Iowa in the playoff game or the championship game, then they both have one loss, and then what do you do?
Oh, God, that's
you can't
why
put Iowa ahead of Ohio State,
that's why I don't
but
want
does Ohio State stay in the top four? That would depend on what your team does and what the Big 12 does.
That's why I'm loving college football right
now. A one-loss Ohio State, if they win the Big Ten, a one-loss Ohio State may have the advantage. They should have the advantage over one-loss Notre Dame, but I don't know if they will. But they probably, in the committee's mind, I would think they'd have the advantage over a Big 12 team. Because everybody loves Ohio State.
I know. God, that's pissing
but
me off.
But that doesn't mean – I mean, Oklahoma State doesn't lose. They don't matter.
Well,
they're not going to put Ohio State in ahead of Oklahoma State if Oklahoma State doesn't lose.
No,
You can't do that.
No, I know that. I know that. But
you can't.
I expected –
don't make me do that because you can't do that.
I expected these rankings to come out. I expected Oklahoma State to get in at that number four spot. I expected Oklahoma to be in the number six spot with Notre Dame. And
yeah, I didn't think it was going to change that much this week.
Really, that's what I thought based on strength of schedule and the wins.
But they're only rating them now based on what they've actually done.
Exactly.
They know that Oklahoma State, the backloaded schedule, or whoever in the backloaded schedule, they'll probably be able to jump other people on merit after they win those big games. And then you have Florida at number eight. Florida's got a game against Florida, somebody this week, who they're going to beat. But they have Florida State, who's still going to be like top 14 or 12. Mm-hmm. And if they make it to the final of the SEC, if they beat Alabama. I don't know that would jump them all the way up into the top four, but Alabama, that would be their second loss. They'd have to be out.
So now it's time for us to talk about having an eight-team playoff.
Not this year, my friend.
Not this year, but it's definitely something that needs to be talked about.
If Alabama or Notre Dame loses, obviously, at two losses, they're out.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. I agree with that 100%.
So that would be – that might – you might sneak in one of your
Boston
Big 12.
Boston College beats Notre Dame at Fenway Saturday.
I always know when it's time to change the topic when you get silly. And that's what we're going to do right now. Because we have in the NFL.
Uh-oh.
And my question out on Twitter as I try to use my Twitter machine was, who's going to lose first, New England, Carolina, or Golden State? And I thought it was a pretty good question.
God damn. Still Buffalo, my basketball
Buffalo at New England, Washington at Carolina.
Well, let me just say
you got to say both those. Washington
has got to be the favorite at Carolina. They've got a Pro Bowl quarterback. Oh, that's currently. Right.
They've got that new quarterback.
They got a Pro Bowl quarterback who just can't do wrong.
He cannot do anything. You should give him an extension.
I think. I think just go ahead and give him the MVP for the league this year
and the Hall of Fame
and the Hall of Fame.
So Kirk Cousins threw a touchdown pass and they won a game and now everybody's gone nuts.
Absolutely. No, Carolina by 14.
Cam Newton is getting it done in so many different ways.
And they're at home.
So, and they have that defense. I think Kirk Cousins will have some trouble with that defense.
A little bit.
Yeah. And then Buffalo, New England, I mean, yeah. Could Buffalo win? Yeah. Is it going to be, what's the percentage on the ESPN FPI or whatever you call it? I would say New England 84. 80, yeah. 88, something like
gotta
that.
Got to be up there.
Yeah. But I think the better games this week comes from what we call the next level.
Absolutely.
And that's Green Bay at Minnesota, 6-3 at 7-2. And Cincinnati 8-1 at Arizona 7-2.
I don't know which one's going to be the better of the two matchups. I mean, honestly,
I think the team out of those four that can least afford a loss is Green Bay.
Well, no, there's no doubt about that.
At 6-3 now and a game behind Minnesota, if they lose this game to fall two behind and with six to go, plus. Losing four in a row with Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what would happen to that state?
Hasn't happened since, the day he started in the league.
Yeah, when he was sitting behind Brett Favre.
Yeah, wow, weird, odd. I think Cincinnati and Arizona is going to be a great, great game.
I do too.
With the Carson Palmer factor.
Well, the Palmer factor, the Dalton factor.
Screw Dalton. I love the fact that Carson is going to go back and be able to prove something against, or not go back,
Cincinnati,
and just torch them. I expect him to
Cincinnati
go out.
Obviously was terrible on Monday night.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to rebound with some sort of performance on the road?
You would expect
against
them
Arizona?
To. You would expect them to.
Right, but Arizona's got those great cornerbacks. But,
yeah.
And that's... You're right.
Tyron
it's
going to
be a very, very good game. Well, Patrick Peterson, yeah.
Well, let's go. I mean, let's whoever. Bring it on.
Yeah, and they got A.G. Green.
Let's fight. It's a fight.
Well, they have to. Cincinnati, it's everybody was sitting back when they were 7-0, 8-0, going, well, we'll just wait and see what happens in the playoffs. Uh-huh. And now that they've lost a game, I told you.
Yeah, now they're out.
let's see if they come back from that.
Yeah, now they're out.
And, you know, not a home game, but on the road against a good team. Yeah. Let's see what kind of performance they put up there.
Well, Carson is pissed, and he's already come out and said very specifically, hey, this game is more than just another game for me. And so that motivation, when I hear that from a starting quarterback, especially somebody like Carson who's playing so well right now, I mean, it just leads me to believe that he's going to come out fired.
And I believe that the last time we checked, they were the second seed in the NFC. And you want to keep that because you want to keep that bye, obviously.
Absolutely.
They've kept Seattle pretty far in the rear view there as far as the division is concerned.
Yeah.
But you want to keep that. You want to keep that number two, that first round bye.
As proof of last year.
And then home team until, obviously, playing against Carolina.
They need it because of last year. I mean, just look at last year.
So that's going to be two great games.
Yeah.
Do you really? I mean... Seriously, we picked the game on the Geronimo show this morning, and I took Minnesota because as we talked about, I think we talked about it Monday, all these new receivers for the Packers, I don't see them getting separation the way that Jordy Nelson and some of the other guys have done over the past couple of years. And that's, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I don't think he feels like he can throw the ball into tight coverage like he used to because he had confidence in his receivers. And it seems like everything he throws is under 10 yards. Not him.
And a duck. I'm going to have to agree with you on part of that because I think what the biggest issue in that game is going to be is Green Bay's not going to be able to run the ball. Okay.
That's critical.
You got Eddie Lacy, who's on two bad wheels, and Starks starting.
Starks is starting.
And they're going to split, and they've come out and said they're going to split time between those two backs. Well, first of all, you can't split time between a back that has a bad wheel. So
you can split if he never runs it.
If he never runs
split,
it.
90-10 is why we split it.
But here's the deal is that if you can't run the ball, then you can't open up the offense. And it's been proven Aaron Rodgers can run a spread offense no problem.
He can run any kind of offense.
But if you can't open it up and get some separations with the receivers, when you have a running game, you can do that. If they have no running game, I'm sorry. I hate picking against Green Bay.
I do too.
But Minnesota has got the better defense up front. They've got a better secondary right now. And if Green Bay can't run the ball, Minnesota's winning.
And it seems like maybe Minnesota's ready to escape that category of – everybody's impressed with you, but then when we start to rely on you being that good, you fall apart.
Yeah.
It seems like the Saints have done that a couple times this year. They'll put a couple of weeks together and you go, okay, now they're the Saints, and then they just lay a complete egg.
Yeah.
You think that Minnesota might be past that. This may be the game that gets them either way. If they knock out Green Bay and go to 8-2, maybe that gets them up there with Arizona as far as the division's concerned.
Well, I think they have more pieces than any of the other teams.
And Adrian Peterson is looking like Adrian Peterson.
He's come back.
Hey, dude, where's my quarterback? we have three games in that category. Dude. Denver at Chicago.
Okay. Who's playing in
this
game?
So Brock Osweiler is in at quarterback. So, hey, dude, who's my quarterback?
Hey, dude.
Against a suddenly resurgent Jay Cutler?
Well,
what?
Well, he's in the same category as Kirk Cousins right now.
He gets the MVP,
Hall of Fame.
So, yeah, he and Kurt are going the same class.
Yes, they're going they're going to
hold
hands.
Hey, what are you wearing to the Hall of Fame, man?
Yes. Hey, don't wear my hat.
Yeah. So, okay, well, this is a game for Chicago, just like we're talking about Minnesota.
Yeah.
They put a couple of good games together. Mm-hmm. Now a couple of – I think they're going to win. People are kind of counting on them to win now. Let's see if they fulfill that.
I think Brock Osweiler has a much better chance of performing really well in this game than a lot of people are giving him credit. Again, it goes back to what I was saying about the whole Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre thing.
He won't be as awed by being on the field.
Yeah. He's not. And he came out in that last game, and he played well in that last game.
He played well, but
game.
They were way behind. So,
you got to air it out during that time, and he was able to do that.
Well, there you go. He did show some athleticism, which
absolutely
was nice. So, and like we talked about last time, he'll get the ball to the receiver when it's supposed to be there as opposed to kind of waiting for it.
I'm going to have
to go
Denver.
And that makes the receivers feel a lot better.
I'm going to take Denver.
All right, very good. Where's my quarterback or who's my quarterback? Indianapolis at Atlanta. We know Matt Ryan's there, but what about this Hasselbeck guy?
Oh, God, he's still playing?
Yeah.
I thought he was a commentator.
I'm not sure which one they're going to throw out there.
They're not sure which one.
Yeah, but I think it's Matt.
Are they sure which one they're going to put out there?
He's 40 years old. He's out there. And you talk about a guy who understands the game.
Yeah.
He understands. I mean, people forget how good he was.
If they can protect him.
Yeah.
If they can protect him. If that offensive line can hold up, which has been the issue in Indianapolis.
What about your running game?
And one of the reasons why Andrew Luck has been on his back is because the offensive line has not protected him.
Right.
And Matt Hasselbeck is a lot slower.
Right.
And a lot less mobile.
And is probably more likely to just crumble like Peyton does when there's pressure rather than try to extend the play, which I don't blame him for at all.
I would be out right now looking at who's Hasselbeck's backup. I would pick him up in your fantasy league right now. He's probably going to get playing time.
So you're talking about the third string quarterback for the Colts?
I'm just saying.
I'm doing
Peyton Manning?
I'm doing poorly. I'm doing very poorly in my fantasy league.
Oh, I know.
I don't even think I'm going to pick up the third string quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
I know how poorly you're doing in your fantasy
league. I won a couple of games.
Hey, I'm leading in our fantasy league, just so you guys know.
Finally, hey, dude, where's your quarterback? Dallas Cowboys.
He's back. In Romo, we trust.
I don't know if it's fair to expect a guy to come back and have there be no start. I mean, you got to, when you get to work, you got to have a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, is this guy going to be able to come out in the first quarter and let's go? Is it going to be tough?
He's already said that, there's going to be some rust issues and things of that nature. And I appreciate the fact that he comes out and says those things. Again, they're playing Miami.
Yes.
In Miami.
Yes, they are.
This is not going to be an easy game for Dallas.
No. Plus, do you think that if he's tackled down at the bottom of the pile and Dominican Sue is probably biting his leg or something? You got it. That's a crazy dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he's liable to get into Tony's dome piece.
Tony is going to get fish hooked.
Yes.
By Dominican Sue.
Catfished and fish hooked. So, I think they're 2-7 now.
They have to.
They're
win
in
this
the worst. They would be in the worst division in the NFL if their other division that's worse wasn't in the NFL. And you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
But they're still, I don't want to say anything because then Romo gets mad at me. But there are
care.
A couple of games out of first. Okay,
of games out of first.
Not that many.
Yeah, well, they're enough for me.
I think that they have to finish 8-8 to have a chance.
At minimum.
And they're 2-7 now.
At minimum.
And you don't know what kind of startup problems that we're going to have with Tony.
I don't think they can lose this game. I think if they lose this game, go
ahead
and chalk it up.
2-8, yeah.
Just chalk it up and put Romo back on the bench.
So we're going to must-win game.
Yeah, I think so.
I kind of agree with you. I don't agree with
you.
If you lose this game, I don't agree. But I do agree in a sense if you get to a situation where you know you're out, why take the chance?
No.
But he's going to say, I'm a football player. Put me on the football field.
Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play.
That's what he's going to say, John Fogerty.
No, fuck him.
Okay, great. And finally, if we can, 49ers at Seattle.
Do we care?
Raiders at Detroit. Yeah, I mean, we care from the standpoint of Seattle I think still, and they disappointed me last week in the sense that I thought they'd beat Arizona.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I give a lot of credence to the fact that when a team has got their back against the wall and they're at home, mm-hmm. especially Seattle, they should be tough to beat.
I agree
with
that.
That was a crucial game in their season last week against Arizona. That's that two-game swing thing, and it went the wrong way, and I was very surprised by that.
They haven't looked good from the beginning of the year.
You're right.
So for you to feel that way, I mean, I understand because that's sports. But
they didn't have Chancellor at the beginning, and he came back. Richard Sherman is getting thrown at now.
And I love how everybody thinks Chancellor was the savior to
their season.
No,
I don't know that he was the savior, but I think he's an excellent safety.
He's
a guy you want to have in your lineup.
Absolutely.
It just seems that people are shredding their defensive back. Maybe they're not getting the pass rush they were getting before, but they're making a lot of mistakes in the defensive
backfield.
They're
not the same team as they were last year.
No, they're not the same team, obviously.
Period.
Anyway, so I still think they're going to beat the 49ers. What kind of – I know you're a Giants fan. I don't know about your football affiliation, but is this an important game for the 49ers? Are there anything like important games? Is it the Blaine Gabbert era, so we have to see what he can do in Seattle? Is there anything really on the line for them?
The importance of this game for San Francisco is twofold. One, it's to see if Blaine Gabbert is at all going to be a quarterback in this league, period.
Well, yeah, playing in Seattle
against
the Seahawks is a nice step on the way to figuring out what a guy's got.
And we're also, as a organization, I think everybody's playing for their job at this point. I think the coaching staff, I think everybody is playing for their job at this point.
The coaching staff, okay? Geez.
Because this not only, they knew they were going to have issues going into the season after the Harbaugh issue.
Yeah.
Okay, they knew that ahead of time. So I knew they were giving out, you know, a little bit of leniency to everybody.
Yeah, the way a little margin of error, sure.
The way the season has gone, they're now playing for their jobs because they cannot continue to do this for another season.
All right, and then we move at the end to Oakland at Detroit. Oakland against Minnesota last week, a huge disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
I had almost put them in the group of, you've shown me what you can do now.
Yeah.
I do believe in you a little bit. You're at home. I think you can hold Minnesota. And they were never really, I know they tied the game, but they weren't in the game.
They were never in the
game.
They
were outplayed. They were overmatched.
But
so they're going to Detroit this week.
But they're going to go to Detroit this week.
And Detroit has a couple of good guys.
What do they have?
But
No, they have nothing. Oakland goes to Detroit and wins this game.
Well, I would say that in your parlance, I think this is a must-win for Oakland.
Well, it is an absolute
must-win.
Because
if they win it, they would get to 5-5, which is better than anybody thought they'd be after 10 games. Also, still sort of in the race.
They're still
Denver, I think, is 7-2 right now, and they lost their quarterback. So you never really know.
Kansas City's
right up there, too, obviously. But still, you're going to be playing the teams that you're trailing if you win this game. If you go to 4-6, then I think you're going to have uphill battle.
I think they go into Detroit, handle this game. Matthew Stafford will play well. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, no doubt about that.
But Oakland has the ability to not only put up the points that...
They have the ability, but...
They also have a better defense than Detroit does. So
all right, signal the music, will you?
Oh, you want some music?
Yeah, I think we need some music. We appreciate the people that are tuning in. We will get this on the download as soon as we can if we figure out how to do that so anybody can hear it. We'll be back on Monday at the pod.god.com, me and Stones. So, Stones, your bold prediction for the weekend is which game?
Oklahoma State.
Okay. And I'm
wins.
I hate to do this, but my bold prediction is the Minnesota Vikings beating the Green Bay Packers.
Very nice.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Monday.
Talk to you.